How does God view me? Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that God loves you immensely. My wife yesterday on the internet found this saying from Max Lucado, who's a Christian author. And he has many sayings, but I thought this quote was appropriate for this message. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your picture would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he is crazy about you. God is crazy about you. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God thinks the world of you. God thinks the world of you. You may not have realized that God views you this way based on some negative words that may have been spoken to you maybe as a child. Maybe your earthly dad said you were a mistake or an accident going somewhere to happen. Maybe a spouse told you that you'd never make enough money to rent an apartment or buy a vehicle. Maybe that spouse told you that you would never amount to anything. And so you've taken those negative words and you've meditated on them and you've mulled them over and over in your mind, and maybe those negative words negatively affected your sense of self-esteem. Remember this, not to perceive your heavenly Father based on your earthly father and how he treated you. Remember, our earthly heavenly Father is perfect. Our heavenly Father is perfect. Remember, you're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You're a miracle going somewhere to happen. If somebody told you that you'd amount to nothing, God wants you to know that you were created for something. God sees you as so valuable. Amen?
Amen.
Say it tonight with me. I am so valuable to the Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about our worth to God, how God views us as so valuable. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. This was a song of Moses, the song of Moses. And in verse 10, it says this as part of the song concerning Jacob or Israel. In a desert land he found him. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. God guarded Israel as the apple of his eye. Now, the apple of the physical eye is the pupil. Light enters the eye through the pupil. The pupil and the iris around it are very important to the correct functioning of your physical eye. The pupil is a very valuable part to your eye. And so in Deuteronomy 32:10, it likens Israel to the apple of God's eye. Just as the pupil of the physical eye is so important and valuable to your eye as a whole, so is Israel so valuable to God. And in the New Covenant, we are the apple of God's eye. So important, so valuable to him. Say it with me tonight. I am the apple of God's eye. So valuable, so important to him. You know, if the enemy tries to bring up negative words that were spoken to you in the past, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus. You rebuke him with the word of God. If he tries to put you down and tries to say, you know, you'll amount to, remember those words that were spoken over you.
Amen.
You'll amount to nothing. You rebuke him and say, no, enemy, I am the apple of God's eye. I am so valuable. I am so important in the sight of my heavenly Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now remember this, the worth of an item is determined by the price paid for it. The worth of a thing is based on the price you were willing to pay for it, right? So with this in mind, let's turn to what Peter has to say in his epistle. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." In these verses, Peter calls silver and gold what? Perishable. They're corruptible. Silver and gold are of limited value. But your soul, my soul, is of unlimited value. Your soul, remember this, is the real you. It lives on forever when the body dies. It's immortal since it was created in God's image. First, Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27. Your soul has infinite worth. As a commentator said, it is worth more than a world. So how can silver and gold, which have finite worth, redeem a soul, our soul, which has infinite worth? They can't. Silver and gold, which have finite worth, cannot redeem our souls, which have infinite worth. Only the precious blood of Jesus, the blood of infinite worth, was able to redeem our souls, my soul, your soul, from the empty way of life, from slavery to sin. You see, since the precious blood of Jesus was paid to redeem us, that makes us precious in God's sight. You are so, so, so valuable to God. Remember, the price of the blood of Jesus, the blood of infinite worth, was paid for your redemption from slavery to sin, for my redemption. That makes our value in the eyes of God of infinite worth, of immense worth. And don't let anybody or anything in the present or in the past tell you any differently. When the enemy tries to bring up those negative words from the past, you rebuke him with the word of God and say, I am the apple of God's eye. I am of infinite worth, of immense worth in the sight of God. I am not on this earth by accident. I am on this earth with a God-given divine destiny and purpose. Maybe somebody told you, as I said earlier, that you were an accident going somewhere to happen. No, you are a miracle going somewhere to happen. If somebody told you or repeatedly told you that you would amount to nothing, you tell them no. God says that I was created for something. Say it with me. I was created by God for something. For something special to do in this world and in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you so very much. He loves you immensely. You are so precious, so, so valuable to Him. And you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, as valuable. Because if you see yourself only as existing or a mistake, you'll feel so low that you could do a push-up under a penny. If you see yourself as so low, you won't go forward with the greater thing that God has for your life. But God has got a plan for your life. God has got a purpose for your life. But you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, as loved, as precious, as valuable, as a person of infinite worth. Whenever the enemy tries to put you down in your mind, you tell him, I am the apple of God's eye. I am valuable and so important to my heavenly Father. You've got to start seeing yourself as God views you. God views you as valuable. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this, so as a man thinks about himself, so is he. As a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think of yourself, you'll start acting out. If you think that you're a mistake, then you'll remain in the same place year after year after year, not doing anything. But if you start believing that you were created on purpose, with a God-given purpose, divine destiny, and end in mind, you'll start going forward with the greater thing that God has for you. You got to wash your mind with the water of the Word. You've got to get into the Word and see how much God loves you. You've got to get into the Word and see how valuable you are to the Almighty God. He views you as extremely, immensely valuable, a person of infinite worth. And you've got to start seeing yourself that way. You've got a part to play in this world. You've got a part to play in the body of Christ. You, as a person of such great worth and as a person who is following Jesus, have a part to play in the body of Christ, a valuable part to fulfill. Say it again. You, as a person of such great worth and as a person who is following Jesus, have a part to play in the body of Christ, a valuable part to fulfill. There is a part in the body of Christ that is uniquely fitted for you, that only you can fulfill it uniquely. But every day when you wake up in the morning, you've got to speak the Word of God over you. I am the apple of God's eye. I am so valuable to God. I am of infinite worth to God. God's got awesome plans and purposes for my life. God loves me so much. I was created on purpose. I was created for something, something special. I am the apple of God's eye. Every time you get up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, speak these words from the Word of God over your life. You will start believing what you speak over yourself. But you got to be in the Word of God. You know, the books that you read, the media that you read, the internet that you read will influence the way that you think. Why not let the greatest book in the world, the Bible, influence the way that you think in your mind and in your spirit? The Word of God is full of His love for you, full of trying to communicate to you how valuable, of how much worth you have in His sight. But you got to speak that over yourself every day. You might write it down and say, you might write it down in a place that you see every day. I am so valuable to God. I am of infinite worth to God. I am the apple of God's eye. You might write that down on a piece of paper and put it in a place where you will see it every single day. So, you, as a person of such great worth and as a person who is following Jesus, have a part uniquely fitted for you to play in the body of Christ. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, final passage. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 20. Paul writes this. He likens the body of Christ to a physical body. And he writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Verse 18, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Say it with me tonight. There are many parts, but one body. And I am a special part in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We jump down to verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12. "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Let me say that again, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God and the body of Christ has a place uniquely fitted for you, only that you can uniquely fulfill. But to fulfill that part in the body of Christ, you've got to see yourself as valuable the way God sees you. You've got to see yourself as loved the way God loves you. You've got to see yourself as a person with a purpose as God sees you. You've got to see yourself as created for something as God sees you created for something. And in the body of Christ, you may be the mouth. What does the mouth do? The mouth communicates. The mouth speaks. In the body of Christ, maybe you're called to share the gospel. Maybe up on a pulpit to groups of people. Or maybe you're called to pray concerning situations in people's lives. You may be a mouth in the body of Christ. You may be the hands in the body of Christ. Only you and God know what you are. The hands in the body of Christ. Maybe you're called to acts of service. Maybe you're called with your hands to help set up a church for a church service and then take everything down after the service. Or maybe you're called with your hands to help serve a meal here at the shelter. Or maybe you notice somebody stranded on the side of the road, and because you're the hands in the body of Christ, you make every effort every time you see that to help the person who is in need of your help. You might be the eyes in the body of Christ. You may be the ears in the body of Christ. What is it that God has gifted you with? What is it that you enjoy doing? That's what God has called you to do in the body of Christ for the advancement of His kingdom. You may be the hands. You may be the feet. Traveling maybe to different areas, different places, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to others. I don't know what it is, friend. Only you and God know what your part is in the body of Christ. But you have got a part to play. You were not placed on this earth by accident. You were not placed on this earth to take up space. You are not a spare part in this world or in the body of Christ. You have a very unique part to play and to fulfill in this world, in the kingdom of God, and in the body of Christ. But to go forward with that, you've got to have a healthy self-image of yourself. You've got to see yourself as God sees you. God sees you so valuable. He sees you as the apple of His eye. He sees you as so loved. He sees you as forgiven of your sins by faith in Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you. Do you love God? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He's got something for you to do. You were not made just to take up space, just to sit in the same place year after year after year. You were made to do something special. Even if it's something like praying for others. You don't have to be seen visibly, but it's a very important part to play in the body of Christ to pray for others, right? Very important part. One day I want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How about you? When you enter heaven one day, that's the greatest reward we can receive, is to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've done what I called you to do in the world and in my kingdom." Amen?
Amen.
But in order to get there, you've got to see yourself as God sees you.